morning, Joe.
Thanks for checking in this morning. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Thought we could talk a little bit about some of the discussions that took place at this week's city council meeting, including the discussion on next year's property taxes. Is the next year rates available yet?
I believe we'll be sharing that Monday. We got an agenda meeting this morning. I'll be meeting with the council president, city clerk, and others, my chief of staff. I know that there was a lot of shifting things this year, different categories, a lot of factors, and so it's, you know, it's all shaken out next 2 days. We have outside auditors and consultants assist us with it. It just was a complicated year in many ways. So, but, you know, we'll be ready for Monday night, full follow-up presentation from the other night. I know John Rowland, the chair of the Board of Assessors, presented the values and spoke about classification and all. I don't watch the meeting, so I assume he did that. That was his book. His role. We talked about before having a modest increase in taxes this year, and I suggest that's still the case.
I guess there'll be two votes, is that right? First, whether or not to split the classification between residential and commercial, and then the actual rates themselves?
Yeah, the council actually votes on the classification, correct, which then leads to the rates. There'll be a number of votes because we'll probably be doing using from free cash to perhaps offset the potential increase. There could be some other transfers within the budget to, again, help us with the eventual tax rate itself. As you probably know, Joe, over the years, we've left, it's probably about $450 million on the table since we've been in office, and that we have not taxed to the max every year, which leads to not having big reserves, but I'm always sensitive to the taxpayer. We fall in around the middle of the category, 351 cities and towns, and as I've said a million times with you, Joe, there's nobody better with services than the city of Quincy. I don't care where you go in Massachusetts. So there is a value to that, a value in costs, and I think the value is awesome, and I think the people appreciate it, and we'll continue to deliver good services. But we'll get through this week, Monday night, and move on.
Is that the plan again this year, to not tax to the max?
That's the goal, absolutely.
Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
We'll see how everything shifts out. We look at everything at this point. It's kind of a funny system we have in Massachusetts. We pass the budget, 5 months before, and then we figure out how to raise the money to pay for the budget, but that's how it is in Massachusetts. But there's things that shift, you know, and in that time, sometimes we've reduced health care line. I'm not saying we're doing that this year. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we've reduced debt service, depending on some of the shifts that we see. And then that at times we were able to do that and help offset, again, the increase. But we're working hard on it the next 2 days, and we'll have a resolve before Monday night.
Mm-hmm. Has the free cash number been determined?
I don't know if it's been finalized. Okay. I know that we had estimates. I just don't know. I don't want to say it unless the state has certified it. Yep. I'm not sure that's happened yet.
Okay. And has the issue of the $16 million for the pension been resolved with the state?
We're working hard on that with PARAC and the Department of Local Services. I should say Division of Local Services, Department of Revenue. And I said right up front, as far as I was concerned, we fully funded the pension system. So that was a little bit of a curveball. We're disappointed in that. However, we are making some adjustments there, hopefully we'll get that resolved.
A couple of suggestions from the public this week. I wonder if you might comment on. First was taxing large residential properties at a commercial rate. How do you feel about that?
Well, if you look at the numbers, the large residential projects already pay significant taxes, Joe. It's very similar in a way at the commercial rates. And if you look at what we've been able to do the last several years without 2.5 overrides, without going to the max, it's largely because of all the new development, which is largely large residential projects. And you know, the other argument I hear all the time is affordability, you know, and you tax apartments even more, they're going to pass it on to the consumer, those that are renting. So I don't think that's necessarily the answer.
Another thought was creating, we've talked about this before, creating a residential tax exemption for owner-occupied properties.
That all sounds great, but who pays the difference? You know, who makes that up? I mean, I'm a big believer that, you know, we in government have a purpose. We provide a safe city, a clean city, great schools, outstanding first responding, police, fire, excellent response times, you name it, whatever the service category is, we're tops in Massachusetts. There's a cost to that. And, again, we fall somewhere in the middle, but there is a cost to it. I mean, you look at Boston, they're going up about $800 on the average this year. Communities around us are maxing out this year. I do think there's a bigger problem, Joe. If you look at the numbers statewide, the amount of communities that are up against it, on Prop 2.5, and the last several years of the cost of inflation, I just think that we haven't been able to keep up with state aid and other aid, everyone's getting to the max on that. So something's going to have to give at some point, whether it's relief from 2.5 or the state does something else to provide a bigger share of local aid to the cities and towns. I mean, so goes the cities and towns, so goes the state. So, cities and towns on the front lines and really delivering the services where the rubber hits the road. So I think there's going to have to be some discussion. And I'm not suggesting relieve 2.5 with higher taxes. That's not what I'm suggesting. But we have to have a statewide discussion on how we move forward.
Mm-hmm. Another item, the order that came up this week was for the Performing Arts Center and the construction manager at-risk delivery method. I wonder if you could explain that, Mayor.
Yeah, sure. Well, several months ago, we had an RFP out and a request for qualifications. We had a committee. They've narrowed it and they're recommending an architectural firm to me. Now, I haven't finalized that. I met with the architectural firm, but we put a little bit of money aside just to do the due diligence, come up with some conceptual designs and program. And at some point when we get it all together, we'll have several community meetings, public meetings, and then we'll present to the city council, a proposal that would include a performing arts center and house the Adams Presidential Center and perhaps the Park Service Visitor Center and perhaps the city's welcoming center all under one roof, which would make some sense. You can't really have a logical discussion about it until you have something in front of you with some plans and concepts. So architectural would be to help us design that, and then the contract manager would help with all the estimates, the pricing and all, before we went down the road too far. So you need to spend a little money before you make the decision on spending more money. So I think this will put us in a better place to really look at every aspect of not only what it would cost to build it, and keep in mind, Joe, that it was the public in Quincy that we heard from over and over the last several years looking for some type of a performance center. It's kind of the missing piece in the downtown. Mm-hmm. Many cities our size have theaters or performing arts centers or cultural centers. There's overlap between all of those titles, by the way. It is the missing link. So we'll put together a program and have conversations with the public, listen to their thoughts, and then from there we can make a decision with the city council, obviously several months out. There's the other aspect of that. What does that bring to the city? What kind of economic value does the APC bring? And it has a value. What kind of value does the Performing Arts Center bring beyond the obviously the use and the enjoyment of community productions and shows and dance recitals and professional acts, comedians? Well, what does all that bring to the community revenue-wise, economically? And there are real numbers out there. We're also doing a little study on that. So we want to have all the, if you will, as many of the questions answered, the anticipated questions ahead of time. We want to have a solid plan in place before we talk, with the public. We want to have something in place that we can really have a robust discussion around. There's many pieces to it, but something we'll continue to discuss, plan for, and then present to the public.
For a location, I know you've mentioned in the past looking at the Monroe Building. Is that still the case?
That's still probably the strongest possibility in my view. Yep.
And for funding sources, have those been identified, Mayor?
Well, if, for example, the building would be built, under the proposal, be built under city funding, but the APC would build out their own space. In other words, the shell would be built by the city. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these things have to be worked out, Joe. So this, what we're talking about is just a discussion at this point.
Yep.
There's a lot of issues and around this that we've got to figure out. But yeah, the idea would be the city, it would be the city-owned building. Mm-hmm. The city owns the Performing Arts Center. There would be obviously revenue coming in from the Performing Arts Center that could help with the debt service. It would be the APC paying for their own, I guess, is $30-40 million build out for the space that they would need to provide these services and the programming and engagement that they are planning. And obviously they're a separate nonprofit entity that we've been working with over the last couple of years. So there's still, we're moving in a direction. There's still a lot of questions. And, we anticipate having those questions answered. There's other funding sources that could help us with this, including the hotel tax, mm-hmm. Including the Community Preservation, committee or act. All of those things would be in the mix. So, again, we'll continue to work through it.
Mm-hmm. In terms of presenting to the public, what do you have in mind for a kind of a timeline?
I don't have a timeline yet, Joe. I mean, as we continue to work forward, my guess is sometime mid-late winter, we start having some public meetings, discussions, and presentations on it. Mm-hmm. From there, down the road, we get the pieces together. Then we go to the city council formally at some point.
Right.
And take it from there.
Okay, very good. Finally, I did want to ask about the adoption of a state law regarding the school bus embarkation and disembarkation for a monitoring system. So the council adopted that order. Does that mean that a system will be installed now?
Well, it allows us to then move forward for a system. So we're working with a company right now to look at it. I know that it's early on.
Mm-hmm.
I think the city of Peabody has gone down this road, but essentially it would allow you to put a camera system on the buses.
Yep.
That would then obviously record somebody that didn't pay attention to the law and drove through. The idea would be the company pays for the installation of the cameras, and the cost of that comes out of the ticketing from the violators.
So, I see.
Still a lot of pieces to it we're looking at, but yeah, that's the gist of it.
I see. Yeah, there's been some very
more safety.
Many close calls, yes, that we've seen reported, so we don't want that to happen, certainly.
That's right.
Yeah. Appreciate your time, Mayor. Great to talk to you.
Same here, Joe. So, have a good one.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.